Heartbreak in the Himalayas.
Part 1. The Fated Female.
Written and narrated by Ray Hodgson.
Dedication. For Tamika and Eloise, who inspire me every waking day. One, Drama in Theatre, Part 1, Camp 3, Midwestern Nepal, Day 3, 6:30 p.m, Operating Theatre.
It'll be dark soon.
The power is sure to go out at any minute, and we'll have no light. To have any chance of completing this operation, we'll need the handheld torches. This is our fifth and final operation for the day. Our team of volunteers must be as weary as I am. For the past 2 hours, we've been operating on a woman named Dilly. Dilly is 28 years old and a mother of 4 young children. Like almost all of our patients, she suffers from severe genital prolapse. We've only known Dilly for the past 48 hours leading up to her surgery today, but during this time, she's won enormous respect from our surgical team with her resilience and grace in the face of her dreadful affliction. 4 years earlier, Dilly's bladder and bowel and uterus burst through her vaginal entrance and sat painfully between her upper thighs. She's been incontinent of urine every day now for the past 3 years. Sexual intercourse has been impossible. A year ago, ulcers appeared over the mass of prolapsed tissue. And in recent months, the ulcers have often become infected. We can fix this woman. We can get rid of this fetid mass and put her bladder and bowel back where they belong. We can take away her chronic pain and stop her incontinence. We can restore her sexual function. We can restore her dignity. We just need more light. 6:52 p.m. The lights go out. Nepal's electrical grid sharing system. On days like these, it seems to deliberately challenge our surgical camps. Our team members find every conceivable source of light to shine into our deep, dark operating field. They struggle to find the best angle to hold the battery-powered lights. And these lights are getting dim. Despite months of planning, we usually neglect one thing or another on our camps. This time, it's the torch batteries. How could we miss that? As the light gradually fades, it's a race against time to finish this operation. This is becoming dangerous. There is bleeding. There's always some bleeding, but this is a lot heavier than usual, and in the dimming light, I struggle to see the source of the blood loss. In a desperate effort to improve my view of the convoluted web of blood vessels and nerves and ligaments, I ask for immediate suction to quickly clear the blood from the area, but I'm reminded that the suction machine also relies on electrical power. We'll have no suction until the power returns, and this will be at least another hour. The swabs will have to do. We continue to apply pressure and mop up the blood in an effort to find the source of this bleeding. An hour ago, we ran out of standard surgical swabs. We've improvised with pieces of drapes that our resourceful nurses have cut into small squares. Despite every effort, things go from bad to worse as the volume of blood escalates. It's clear now that this situation is critical. Dilly's blood pressure begins to fall in response. At home, we'd transfuse this woman immediately, but here we work with limited facilities. The nearest blood bank is in Pokhara, 9 hours away.
The theatre team are silent as they grasp the gravity of the scene before us.
We are now at crisis point.
We use our hands and fists to push against every bleeding point we can see. This settles the bleeding for a moment, long enough for us to collect ourselves, to think.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?